And you're listening to Sisters Acousmatica on 3CR. And we've just had a performance by Sally Ann McIntyre. And we're about to head into a chat. But before we do, hi, Sally.
Hello.
we just need to let listeners know, if you are heading down to the events in the city, the location at the moment has just changed. And so instead of Site 2, which was the Eureka Skydeck building entrance, where people have been asked to move on from security. Thanks. Now everyone is at the testing grounds. So that's Site 3. And you can find these sites on the sistersacousmatica.org /map. And that's, I should tell you the spelling for that, Sisters, S-I-S-T-E-R-S, AKOUSMATICA.org/map. And we've also just been hearing from Libby Jamison and Meg Butler, who are both involved and have been for a long time at 3CR in various capacities. Meg's a tech and Libby was the ex-training coordinator for a long time and set up the training of women in tech at 3CR. So they were discussing that and the music under that was Sleepless Lines by Ravens and Crows and Wave by Eves. And then we followed that with 44 by Bonnie Mercer from the Ladies in Noise Australian 2 CD. Now, heading into a just little chat with Sally Ann. First of all, I think it would be good to let listeners know your setup and what you were actually playing then, because it was
very interesting. One of the problems with acousmatic practice, if you like, that you can't actually see what's going on. So I'll try and guide people through that. So I'm holding up here something that you can't see on the radio, which is a small radio transmitter, which is my primary performance instrument. So I'm a radio artist. And I transmit with a mini FM transmitter to a very small radius within a room. And anything that's tuned to 104.5 FM, if it's a radio, in the space can be part of any performance. So so the transmission is a room-size transmission. So I think of it as an embodied radio space, I suppose. So that can have a live component. People can see the transmission happening and, you know, understand that they're in the middle of radio waves, you know, that these very intangible, very kind of ethereal things that actually they're pretty tangible. You know, bodies in spaces really, one of the things I've noticed doing this kind of work is it does depend on the amount of bodies in the space, like whether it's raining, a whole bunch of other very physical components. So radio is quite tangible when you look at it this way.
And when did you begin your fascination with radio and transmission?
It's a hard question to answer, actually. I mean, I've been doing radio since I was in my teens. You know, like a lot of us, I got started in student radio when I was at university and I did the experimental graveyard shift show that probably had about 3 listeners, you know, the Sunday night. Well, it was Thursday night, but yeah, this kind of like drone noise show. And then I graduated into doing a arts kind of interview show for a while. And I've kind of been involved in radio ever since then. But I think I started to get a little bit frustrated with the limitations around broadcasting. So I did a workshop with an artist called Tetsuo Kagawa in 2006 in New Plymouth when he came over to New Zealand because he was part of a show called From Mini-FM to Hacktivists, which was about art and activism and technology, curated by Mercedes Vicente. And the workshop involved soldering a transmitter, which was his own design, and he'd become quite involved in the 1980s in Tokyo with free radio, coming from a long tradition which included the Italian free radio movement, which he was particularly inspired by, this sort of activist politics aesthetics kind of conjunction that's often been associated with pirate radio, I guess. Yeah, although the mini FM transmitter boom in the 80s in Tokyo was to do with the monopoly of media in the city at that time. So, I mean, Tetsuo found a loophole in the legality where you could transmit to a, you know, basically a building. And in Tokyo, that's a lot of people. But, I mean, I'm using the same design, but in a pretty different way, I think.
And when I noticed you had a record player.
Yes.
And beautiful Bakelite radio. And also that you were playing bird songs. So I'm just wondering, were they found recordings or did you do those field recordings of the bird songs? And do you see those as a musical element or a transmission element?
Oh, that's a great question. They're sort of both. I'll answer the first question first. Yeah, they are bird songs that I've recorded, but they're a strange filtration process through many layers of translation. Like the first one that you heard, which might have not sounded like a bird at all, it probably sounded more like a piano. That was historic transcription of New Zealand birds that are now extinct. One in particular, the huia, which went extinct in 1907. But these historic notations of these birds. So bushmen walking through the bush in the late 1800s wrote down some of the bird song in traditional notation, or, you know, they learnt the whistles of these birds and then someone else notated them. And so it's, these bird songs, they've been put onto wax cylinder. Like I got them commissioned, this very, very old recording medium. So that was the sound of a wax cylinder of an extinct bird.
Wow. That's amazing.
And yes, you said the record player.
Yeah.
I'm a nerd, as we all are in this world. I collect historic birdsong recordings, and the 78 that you heard, the first one was a 1902 recording of a nightingale, like one of the very earliest ones, and I have it here. This is it.
Mm.
And the other one was a strange advertising jingle from the 1940s by the Harts Mountain Radio Canaries, which are a group of canaries that sang on the radio. They had their own radio program, so that's a 78 RPM record of them doing a quite cheesy, almost sort of Moog track, Come Back to Sorrento.
That was fantastic. It was beautiful and delicate, and I'm just wondering, is it all improvised on the day, or have you really got a sense of the structure and what you're going to be doing beforehand?
Yeah, it's funny. I think it's definitely elements of both. Like there's a lot of improvisation with the radio static, because the electromagnetic field that is created in each space is completely different. And so I have to respond very directly and very much in a live manner to, you know, like sometimes the shortwave that you heard, it won't work in the same way in a different type of space. That there's a concrete floor in this space, which, you know, that bounces electromagnetism in a certain way. So I've got to be pretty site responsive. But the records, they're set media. So I just use them as blocks and kind of arrange them within a set. Mm. So it's kind of both.
It's amazing. It's really, really great. And we're really, really excited that you were able to be here and be a part of it. And yeah. We're going to wrap up now and head back into some more listening, and we'll be
thank you. Back yeah, with it's a privilege to be part of this project. I really want to thank Dulia and Pip for all their work and to 3CR. It's a great privilege to be on this station, which I've admired from afar for many years. So it's a wonderful meeting of minds, this project.
Yeah, so thanks, Sally Ann, and we'll be listening shortly to Rosalind Hall.